For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way also he took the cup. There are different cultural practices in the way we pass along family precious items. Not necessarily monetarily precious, although they could be, but memory precious. Something that goes from generation to generation. Maybe you have something like that at your house. You know, sometimes we get a gift, and it's when someone is leaving, moving away, and they give you a gift, and you look at the gift, and you go, "Huh?" Because you wonder, why did they give you this? And you don't think it fits. It could be the oddest of items. I had an aunt who sold Avon. How many of you remember Avon products? Okay. Yeah, that dates us, doesn't it? And she would give my older brother and I, you know, like cologne. And they would be like a mallard duck glass piece with cologne in it. I wasn't even in junior high. You know, and the stuff stunk. And I wonder, what was she thinking? Maybe she thought I stunk, you know. So how was this supposed to fit? But then we do have those gifts that are special. We have a wicker pram in our house. Gwen's grandfather was in it as an infant. Gwen's mother was in it. Gwen was in it. Her younger sister was in it as an infant. And our two daughters have been in it as infants. And our five grandchildren have been in it as infants. Obviously, we don't let them play with it. I'm not sure with two daughters who's going to get it to pass on from one generation to the next. But you understand, we get these items. I have a tie clasp from my mom's dad, my grandfather's shirts. You know, I have books from the pastor who baptized me. The oldest is 1821. Matthew Henry, first American printed commentary set. Yeah. It's worth $50. It's not worth much, you know. So it's, you know, and so we get this stuff. And sometimes, like, his gift to me, it fits. I'm a pastor, you know, so I have an old pastor's library. It was two shipping crates of books. And, you know, the wicker pram, it fits. We have children. Our youngest has children. You know, I figure at some point one of the five will have children. You know, it fits. But sometimes we wonder how these gifts that people give us to remember them by, how are they supposed to fit when they don't seem to fit? Long, long time ago, it was in the upper room, Jesus wanted to give them a gift. It was the Passover meal. On the table was lamb, wine, horseradish or other bitter herbs, okay, hard-boiled egg. There was other things as well on the table, and with each course of that meal, they would recount the history. It was tradition to tell the story of the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, including, or especially, when they were enslaved And there God had told him through Moses to kill a lamb, 1 year old, set it aside, set it aside first. You know, make sure it was unblemished, 1 year old, and then they had a set way to prepare it. And after all those years, from the time of Moses to the time of Christ, probably around 1,400 years, the nation of Israel was supposed to be doing that. And Jesus, being an Israelite in the sense of the nation of God, and being the Son of God, he observed the religious feast. And so it was Thursday night, that week of the Passover, and there on the table were all the items. And then Jesus took the bread. It was unleavened bread. And in the Bible, yeast was often used as a reminder about sin. And so when you wanted to talk about purification, especially when it came to bread, you would have bread without yeast. In other words, you would have bread without sin, life without sin. And for the Hebrews, bread was that staff of life, the basic sustenance of life. And so that was a great imagery. But he didn't take the lamb and said, "This is my body." He took the bread, the unleavened bread. And he said, "This is my body given for you." Does that fit? Think about it. Remember earlier, Jesus had talked about he was going to suffer and die. And bold Peter, remember how bold he was, he had that phrase. It's not in the Bible this way, but it's like, "Over my dead body, Jesus, you know, I am not going to let that happen." And Jesus basically told him very clearly, very directly, "You get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." He had a gift that was going to fit. And he took the cup, the wine, and he said, "This is my blood shed for you. For the, you know, this is the new covenant in my blood. This is what I'm going to pour out for you." And he didn't say the bread turns physically into the body. And he didn't say the wine physically turns into the blood. And yet, he said, and it's very specific in the Greek, "This is." At the same time he's there, he's here. He's in the bread, the unleavened bread. And he's in the wine at the same time as he gives it to the disciples. And he's telling them, "This fits you. This is my gift to you. I don't want you to forget me." And therefore, he even says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And here's where we make a mistake. If the only time that we want the Lord's Supper, if the only time that we gather in God's house is because we need a refresher course of memory. You know how you forget stuff. You forgot where you laid your keys last week. You forgot what you were supposed to do on Friday, and it's now Saturday, and it's too late because you didn't call somebody. And you forgot, and all the time, and sometimes when we come into God's house, we're trying to refresh this gray thing called the brain, the matter in us, and we're trying to remember who our Lord and our Savior is because we've been acting like he didn't exist. And we want to remember that he does exist. And if that's all we understand about tonight, we have missed what he said. Because he said this gift is more than a remembrance. The wicker pram that we have in the house, we remember Gwen's grandfather, Gwen's mom, but they're not there at the wicker pram. Their bodies are laid to rest and they're with the Lord. Okay? And our kids have been in it. Our kids, our grandkids especially, are down in Florida. Our oldest daughter's in Oklahoma. When we see the wicker basket or the wicker pram, yeah, I can remember what they look like. Well, sort of I remember. I'm getting old now. But I can sort of remember, and I got a picture if I need help, to look and see, oh, yeah, Megan was in there, Jana was in there, and then it's Rebecca and Faith and Lizzie and Elijah and Sarah. Yeah. But if that's all I have, I'm falling short if that's what I think this meal is. Because this is more than remembrance. It isn't, I see this and then I remember Jesus. Because he said, this is. He's here. He's in the gift. It's a gift we need. It's a gift that fits us. We are sinful by nature. Rebellious by personality, maybe even. Okay? He gives us this gift that he poured out for us, his body given, his blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And when he says, remember me, and then he's going to help us do that. He brings his reality right to us tonight. You won't taste flesh and you won't taste blood. You aren't supposed to. But by his very command, in the eating and the drinking, you receive, really do receive, not a picture of remembrance, but a fit, the body and blood of Jesus given for you, for the forgiveness of sins, for the strengthening of your faith. It has power. It has reality. It has purpose. And it works. It restores us. It lifts us up out of our despair, even if I'm really low, and it lifts me up only a little bit because I tend to hold on to my grief. I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm sad, and I want to be sad, and I'm entitled to be sad, and, you know, that kind of thing. But you understand, this fits. He gives us himself. And so Paul, you remember Paul was not one of the disciples, right? He was not part of the really close group, Peter, James, and John. Remember them? And Paul was a persecutor of Christians. Paul was there when a guy by the name of Stephen got stoned. And I don't mean smoking something, okay? I mean literally pelted with rocks so he died. When the Bible says somebody got stoned, there's no fun. There's no joy. There's no giggles. There's no laughter. There's death. And Paul was there. And Paul cheered that death on. And after leaving that, he got permission to go up to Damascus to get after them other people that were believing in the Jesus and his perfect gift, the gift that fit. Because Paul didn't believe Jesus fit. And so he, on the way to Damascus, if you remember the narrative, he has a traumatic event. Jesus talks to him. I mean, how would you like that, huh? Now, you and I are believers. That'd be a good thing. Paul's not a believer. This is not a good thing. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? This is not a good thing. Paul's thinking he can kiss his life goodbye. And so Paul is blinded. And he's told what to do. And out of humility, not clarity, but out of humility, he does it. And then after 3 days, it's like scales drop from his eyes and he can see again. And he believes. And Paul in his journey learns what the sacrament is about. And he talks about it in to the people at Corinth. You remember what was happening at Corinth? The people were partying. They were partying before worship. They were getting drunk. Not everybody in the congregation was invited. Only the right kind of people were invited. And so they were partying, and they had, you know, illicit relationships going on in the congregation, and nobody was doing anything about it. And Paul writes this letter to this Corinth congregation, 1 and 2 Corinthians. And he tells them, and he reminds them about the gift that fits, and that's tonight's text. And he's reminding them that when you gather around the Lord's table, you aren't there to party, and you aren't there to carry your sin and throw it in God's face. You aren't there to flaunt your rebellion. You aren't there simply to have a good time. You aren't there. But God in Christ is there, and his gift fits you and I and them. It fits us because we're a mess. We're opinionated, we're confused. We're dead certain, we doubt. You know, we're a mess. And into our presence, into this very meal, Jesus gives himself to you. And Paul says, do not take this for granted. Do not take this meal unrepentant. Do not take this meal in ignorance. Do not take this meal in showiness and flaunting it. But you come unworthy as we are, come sinners as we are, repenting of our sins, because this is the gift that fits. This is the gift of life and salvation. This is given for you. And in that eating and in that drinking and in that receiving of Christ himself, you are physically receiving the forgiveness of sins. You know, we're kind of touchy-feely people, even for us who are stoic, tough German Lutherans, you know. We need something tangible. We have it in our baptism. Pastor doesn't say, you're baptized, you believe, go. You know. But you get water. And the word. And in the Lord's Supper, bread and wine, the visible with the invisible. And the visible reminds us that by God's command, the invisible is here and now. And Christ is here tonight. Not with the magic words of the institution, but the words of institution declare what Christ intends this meal to be. And in the eating and the receiving, not my faith makes it so, but God's word makes it so. Christ gives you his body. Take and eat. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given into death for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. This cup is his blood shed for you for the forgiveness of his sins. Where was that happening? Right here. Well, not on this exact one, but it was on the cross. And yes, we are reminded that there was a lamb on the table in the Passover. And we're reminded that John the Baptist at the River Jordan pointed to Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But Christ gave himself to us in the bread, the staff of life, and in the wine, the fruit of the vine, to give us himself, his body and blood. He gives us weak, miserable, self-pitying Christians because it fits. There is no other life. There is no other salvation. There is no forgiveness anywhere else except in him. This is more than I pull out a picture and I remember. This is receiving the presence and I behold and I receive. That's different, isn't it? Yeah. And so you don't have to be confused. Why bread? Tastes like cardboard. Why wine? It's not high grade. But how, does it fit? a poor, miserable sinner like us. And we receive him. We receive his forgiveness. We receive hope. We are reminded of everlasting life. This is more than just remembering. This is living. Living in Jesus. Amen.